Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. We thank God for another opportunity, praise God, to come and share the Word of God with you on this Tuesday. Today is Tuesday. It is April the 16th, praise God, 2024. And once again, I'm Pastor James E. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Once again, praise God, declaring that Jesus Christ, He is the answer. He's the only answer. Praise God that we can look to as a solver of the problems that we're facing today. They are complex, praise God, but thank God. The Word of God says, and I believe God's Word, there's nothing too hard for the Lord, praise God, if we would only put our trust in Him. Now, we usually come on a Wednesday and Sunday, but due to the fact that we in the midst of a four-part message. We want to, praise God, to bring this whole four parts within the perimeter of this week. And therefore, we kind of getting a little bit off our regular schedule just for this week. And as we are led by the Lord, praise God, we began this message on Sunday, part one. And there are, as I said, there are four parts to this series. And this is part two that we're looking at today. But now, I do encourage you, praise God, to study with me, look with me, get your Bibles. Amen. Praise God. I cannot overemphasize the fact that we must look for ourselves and see what God is saying to us. And praise God, you just got to be careful, very careful today, and taking the word of what people say God's word say, especially when they don't open the Bible and they don't show you the scriptures and give you an opportunity to look at them and, praise God, give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to interpret to you according to your needs and according to what God would have to say to you at this particular time. So get your pencils, tablets, paper, write down these scriptures, not only listen to them, but write them down, and then later on, praise God, go back. Go back and look at them. Look at them again. Praise God. There is no end to God's word and God, the wisdom that come forth out of God's word, out of each and every verse in the scripture. But we're looking again at 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at 2 and 11. 2 and 11, once again, as we did on Sunday, where Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, he penned these words, lest Satan, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, lest Satan should get an advantage of you, over you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I want to add to it Exodus, the 8th chapter today, and we'll add to it again, Lord's will, on the next two passages out of Exodus 8 chapter. But now we're looking at Exodus 8 chapter 28 and 29. 29 now, Paul said, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices and tactics that he used to keep us in bondage. Now, okay, we're looking at Exodus 8, and we're back looking at Pharaoh and Moses in this bout to see who's going to, praise God, who's going to obey God, man or Pharaoh. Pharaoh or, praise God, the devil himself. Okay, but now in verse 28, Exodus 8 chapter, we're looking at verse 28 there. Look with me now. And it says, then Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Praise God, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far. You shall not go very far. And then he says, entreat God, pray to God for me, is what he says. Now look at verse 29. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord. I'll pray for you, brother, yes, that the swarm of flies which are invading your territory may depart from you, Pharaoh, from your servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh, Moses says, deal deceitfully anymore, and not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Let's bow here for the prayer. Father, I bless you, Lord. I thank you once again, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to come to share your word. Now, Lord, I pray the power of God, the Spirit of the Lord, might go before me, break up the fallow ground, prepare the hearts of your people to hear your word today. And then, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you, Lord, might speak. Speak, Father. You said we shall be willing in the day of your power, and let your power come forth today, Lord. For I realize it's not by power, not by might, but it is through your Spirit. Praise God that you speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, you speak to your people, and I'll be mindful to give you all the praise. I'll give you all the glory. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And praise God. Now, Paul says again that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. That's our subject. Christ exposes Satan's devices. He exposes in this dealing with Pharaoh, the Lord, he exposes in our behalf, praise God, for our good, the tactics, the devices that Satan uses to keep us, praise God, in bondage. And again, this part two of four. Part two of four. And again, Paul's belief here that all genuine believers, we're not ignorant, he said. We're not ignorant. In other words, what he said is all genuine believers. I'm talking about born again believers in the Lord. We're not ignorant. We are not ignorant of the devices that the devil uses to entrap us, praise God, hold us in blindness. We're not ignorant. We understand, we who are saved and we who are born again. This is what Paul is saying. Now, of course, now, this, even in the believer, would depend on the level of maturity. The level of maturity, even in believers now, you that are unbelievers, you're not even in the ball game here. But now, those believers that are not really mature in the faith and growing in the faith, you might get hoodwinked and bamboozled as you, attempt to grow in the Lord. But now, it was through the power, though, of the Holy Spirit that Christ hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And remember now, when we say Pharaoh, we're looking at Satan himself here. And when we say Egypt, we're talking about the world. Praise God, we're talking about the world. So now, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ hardened the heart of Pharaoh to cause him to refuse to let his people go free. God did it. God did it. Amen. And also now, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ forced the devil to reveal the most successful tactics and devices that he uses to keep God's people in bondage. God forced him to reveal them. Amen. He don't give away his secrets, not quickly. But now, in the case of Pharaoh, we see that God rained plague after plague upon Egypt until he was forced to reveal his tactics that he uses even today. And this is, we're going back thousands of years. But now, the devil is the same devil. And praise God, like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And he's been using these same tactics for years and thousands of years. And he uses them today. Why? Because they work. They work. They work. Praise God. He uses them to keep God's people in bondage. But now, Christ also, we can flip it over here and see how Christ also used Pharaoh as a punching bag. You know, it kind of reminds me when I was a kid. I think some Christmas they got me a punching bag or something. It's one more thing that it stands up like a man. You hit him and he kind of lean over like he's going to fall, but he come right back to you. So now Christ uses Pharaoh in a similar manner here as a punching bag by hardening his heart. The Lord hardened his heart over and over again, so that what? He could refuse to set God's people free. Huh? And that his people, God's people in the whole world, praise God, might see the Lord's great power. God might demonstrate his power, praise God, that he has over the devil, over everything, over everyone upon this earth. It was a teaching lesson, a very great teaching lesson in God's dealing here through Moses to Pharaoh. Amen. But God was forcing him to reveal his mind and the tactics and the devices that he uses to keep us, God's people, that is, from growing, maturing, and walking in that straight and that narrow path. Okay, but now on Sunday, by the way, just a little review, we can't do much. On Sunday now, we looked at the first tactic, the first device. Paul said, remember now, we're not ignorant of his devices. Those of us who are well seasoned in God's word. Amen. We're not ignorant in his devices. That is the one the devil uses to try and keep Christ's people from walking, praise God, according to God's will. Amen. He don't want us living and walking in the, praise God, in the will of God. So he uses these tactics to try to keep Christ's people. Praise God, from walking in his will, but walking in opposition to his will and to his word. And he does this by causing God's people to compromise on what true biblical salvation is all about. Now, that's what we looked at in this first on Sunday, compromising. He wants us to compromise, the believers compromise on what true biblical salvation really look like. Amen. Look at Exodus, the 8th chapter there, and you write these down now. And let's go back. I'm going to go back just a little bit as we do this brief review. Exodus 8 and 25. 8 and 25. Look at that again. This is first effort to compromise true biblical salvation in the believers. And Pharaoh called for Moses, 8:25, Exodus. He called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye. Go sacrifice to your God in the land. That's the key passage here. Do it. Go worship your God. Serve your God. But do it in the land, in the world. One foot in the world and another foot in the word of God. That's what his suggestion is. And praise God, many are doing that today. Yes, many are doing that. Sunday Christian. I call them Sunday Christian. And maybe even periodically from time to time, you could give them a Sunday Christian and Wednesday Christian. But for the most part, most of them are just Sunday Christians, though. Amen. And he loved to cause them to compromise on what true biblical salvation, praise God, is all about. But now, the true biblical description of salvation is coming out of something. You're coming out. You're coming out of something, and you're going into something. You're coming out, and you're going into something. Something that's altogether new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are what? They're passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, Christ says to the believers, we must come out from the world. We must come out from the world. But now Satan comes right back. He says, okay, it's okay to be religious, brothers. It's okay to be religious and worldly at the same time. There's no problem with that. I have no problem. He tells us that our attitude and our intermingling with the world, it don't have to change. You don't have to change. Praise God. You don't have to change. But now Christ, through Moses here, in this 8th chapter here, he said that's unacceptable. Cut and dry. It's just plain old unacceptable. We cannot serve the Lord and the world at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Case closed. Case closed. Praise God. You can't do it. The Lord said you can't do it. So case closed. No longer can we anymore plead ignorant about this. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do it. Praise God. You cannot do it. But now, many, your minister won't tell you this. because it really doesn't make the people feel good. The ones that are not striving to be all they can be in the Lord, they're not happy with this kind of word. But it's God's word. It's the word of God. But now, so today, now we move it on from there. We move it on from there. He said, "Do it in the land." We're gonna move on from there to the second tactic here on this Tuesday. The second tactic, the second device. That we could say that Christ really forced Satan to reveal. He forces him through the plagues, through all of the judgment that came upon Egypt. The Lord forced Satan, Pharaoh, same thing, from what? He forced him to what? Reveal to God's people this second tactic here, this device that we're looking at today. Huh? Which is his effort to cause God's people to what? What is the second one? He want to cause God's people to compromise again on true biblical sanctification. At first it was salvation. But now he want to cause God's people to compromise on what true biblical sanctification is. Look at 8:28. Exodus 8:28. Put your marker in that Exodus 8 there. We'll look at them maybe a few more, but not too many in this session here. Look at Exodus 8:28. Exodus 8:28. "And Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go.'" His second proposition here. "I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go far away." Don't go far away. "Entreat the Lord." He said, "Pray for me. Pray for me now." But now, those plagues about to drive him crazy, isn't that right? But now he said, "Now I'm going to let you go. Praise God, but don't go far. Don't go far away. Don't go far away." Listen at that now. That's the second tactic or proposition that he brings forth to more or less keep God's people under his grasp. Huh? Amen. But now, he says here, compromise. I want y'all to compromise, basically what he said, on what true biblical sanctification is. Now, the definition of Bible sanctification is what? It's separation. Being separated for holy purpose, a holy purpose, a holy cause. Amen. That's what biblical sanctification is. God is calling you to be separated, to be used by him only for holy cause. Amen. But now, Satan told God's people, praise God, old Pharaoh himself, praise God, after much suffering at the hand of Christ, he told him, "Go serve your God. Go ahead, go ahead, serve your God, but don't you go far away. Don't go far away." In other words, what he's saying is that the change that he has had on God's people, he had to change on God's people all these years. He said, "Now I'm willing now to lengthen the chains. I'll give you some slack. I lengthen the chains and I loosen the noose that's, praise God, that's around your neck or the shackles that are upon your legs. I've loosened them, but now, nevertheless, even after you loosen them, Satan, the chains, praise God, the noose and the shackles are still, they're still there. They still remains upon us. So we're still not free." But that's his proposition, though. Amen. That's his proposition. Now, if the devil, though, if he can't convince you, and he tried real hard now, if he can't convince you to be, to be religious, oh, he liked that, be religious church folks, if he can't convince you to be just religious church folks without being set free, then he'll try to keep you as close to your old lifestyle as possible. Oh, he does it, don't he? Amen. He whispers in the ears of many, "Go ahead, be a Christian. Go ahead now. You know, I don't have no problem with you being a Christian. But don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it completely consume your life." Praise God. Amen. He said, don't cut yourself off. Don't cut yourself off from the many opportunities that the world has to offer you. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. Stay connected to your old friends and acquaintances, because you don't know what, you know, it's not, it really not what you know in this world. It's who you know. Huh? Praise God. You tell them, you know, don't burn all the bridges behind. You may want to come back here. Don't be cool there now. You know, don't go too far. Don't go too far with this thing here. Amen. You know, I know your God is a good God, but now don't burn your bridges now. Hmm? Praise God. He'll tell you that if you come out from the world, then you're going to be labored as a fanatic. Hmm. Radical. Hmm. A madman. Chicken little brother. Hmm? Extremist. Yes, he'll tell you that's what you're gonna be. You don't want to be labeled all that, do you? Huh? Praise God. But now Christ wants us to be different. Yes. Peculiar people. That's what Paul said. We are peculiar people. Not because of the way we dress, the way we look, but because of the way we interact in this world. Christ wants us to be different. Christ wants us to be sanctified, separated. Hmm? And then he says, I want them to come and serve me. Hmm? You can't serve God. You can't serve the world and the Lord at the same time. I'm just being honest with you. You know, I know your preacher won't tell you. He won't tell you this. But now, I'm not on anybody's payroll but God's payroll. And I can say what God puts on my heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But now, a worldly Christian, really, that's what he's advocating. Be a worldly Christian. You know, I mean, praise God. That's just as good as being a Christian. Just be a worldly Christian. Huh? But now, boy, the Irish aren't a worldly Christian. Ain't nothing but a heavenly devil, though. That's all he is. A worldly Christian is a heavenly devil. That's all it is. Amen. Go to Exodus 11 now. Stay with me now. You look in your Bible. Exodus 11. And we're going to look at verse 7 there. Christ called us to be different. Not different in the way we dress, not different in any outward expression, more or less, but different in that we live a holy and a sanctified life. Yes, Exodus 11:7. 11 verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel, the Lord says, here shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast. Praise God. That you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians, that's the world, that's the devil, and Israel, his people, God's people. There's a difference. We are different. We are peculiar. It's no doubt about that. God intended for it to be all the way back from the very beginning. Amen. And we can see the subtleness here of Pharaoh. Pharaoh slash devil, amen. We can see the subtleness here of Satan in that he will encourage men to just be religious. It's okay. It's okay. Be religious. Be a Sunday Christian or Easter Christian or Christmas Christian or whatever. Just play church. Play church. Where the devil? Go on, just play church. Although he hates the very thought that playing church could backfire on him. He knows that. Hmm? And you can really end up getting saved. Now, he understand that. Hmm? When you intend to just be religious, he'll tell you, go ahead and be religious, because he know religion ain't salvation. Go ahead and do it. But like I said, he's taking a chance because who knows? He said none of the word when God is going to activate his word. Who knows when? Only God knows, huh? So now, it could backfire on him, and the person could really get saved as he advocated, and as he encouraged people to play church, huh? So now, while you are busy now, but playing church, he understand that, and he making sure that you are becoming what the Bible called gospel hardened. You become hardened, a hard heart, and become totally blinded, huh? Praise God. He's going to make sure of that. Praise God. And so that is unlikely that your eyes and your heart will ever be receptive to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah? This is his plan, his tactics. Satan knows. He knows this. He knows this. That the hearing of the gospel, the word of God, will either drive you or it would draw you. It'll either drive you to the Lord or it will drive you away from the Lord. Now, he know that. These are the two effects of God's word upon you as you sit in the congregation whenever. Praise God. The Lord of God will either soften your heart or it will harden your heart. Now, the devil understand this, but he do encourage people to be religious, though. Go to church, man. Go to church. Just don't go through that old baptizing thing and all that large stuff. Leave that stuff alone now. But go to church. Go to church, man. Look at Luke 11 now. He knows this. But let me expose him a little bit more as God gives it to us here in the Word of God. Luke 11. 24. Luke 11, 24. Come on, write them down. Now, you need to write these scriptures down. Don't try to memorize them because he'll steal that from you. You need to write them down. Amen? Look at Luke 11, 24. The Lord says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. Unclean spirit. Now, the devil himself, his demons, when they're going out of a man, at some point they go out of a man, and he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And verse 25 says, and he cometh back to his house, and he find it swept and garnished. There's been some rearrangement. There have been some changes, yes. Verse 26. Then goeth he and take with him seven. Remember now, seven is a perfect number. Take with him seven other unclean spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter into that house, into that man, and dwell there. And the last state of that man, whom he called his house, is worse than at first, worse than the beginning. You know, his tactics are somewhat like great athletes that we have known in the past. I've known, many of you, praise God, heard of Muhammad Ali. I'm not calling him a devil or anything like that, but the tactics that they use to be the great athletes that they were. Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown, for instance. Jim Brown. They use these tactics in that sports arena, kind of like what we just read there. They would, after a play, they would appear to have been hurt. After a match for Muhammad Ali, he would appear that he was just about out of it, you know, and winded in order to, what, fool their opponents. That's what he would do. Amen. Then the next play, or the next round, in the case of the boxer, Muhammad would storm out, and Jim Brown would come out of that backfield like a raging bull. Praise God, running over everybody, taking everybody out. See, Satan don't mind you playing like you're sanctified, playing like you're religious. He don't mind you playing like you're saved. Amen? He'll even go so far as take the chains off of you. For a moment. He'll take the chains off of you. Oh, he's taking a chance. He knows that. But he'll do that. Making you appear to be saved, changed in your life, sanctified. He'll make it appear that something happened in your life. And all he did was just walked out. He just kind of took a break on from you. Huh? Amen. He'll even go so far as to take the chains off of you. Amen. But now, each time he comes back, kind of like Muhammad Ali, each time, and Jim Brown, each time they come back to the huddle, back to the ring, amen, back to you, which he called his house now, he sees where you've been listening, he looks around, he finds it swept and garnished, is what it says in that verse 25, his house, that's within the person now, he'll find you swept and garnished. Amen. Praise God. In other words, he see where you've been. Praise God. You don't stop tuning off on the TV and watching the daytime stories. And praise God, one life to live and all that old stuff. You don't stop listening to that. You don't swept the house. You don't garnish the house. Amen. And now you listen to those get rich and blessing preachers now. Oh, yes. He sees that. You listen to the prosperity preachers, the name it and claim it and have it and grab it motivational speakers now. He sees that. And he's a little bit worried there. You made some changes. The house has been swept and garnished. But now here's a problem. There's no blood there. The blood of Jesus is nowhere. to be seen in your life. Making changes without the blood of Christ in your life is no change at all. It's a rearrangement. The devil is playing okey-doke with you. Rope-a-dope, okey-doke is what he's playing with you. Amen? And the Bible says here, the devil will call seven of the meanest, the nastiest, demonic spirit in his army, and they will come back. Seven is a complete number. Amen? They'll come back again, and the Lord will allow him to lock you out of any chance of salvation and sanctification. Amen. Dangerous to play church. It's dangerous for you to play church. Praise God. Father, forgive them. They know not. They know not what they are doing. Praise God. The dangerous position that they put themselves in. Amen. God allow him. Praise God to call seven of the nastiest demonic spirits, and praise God, camp out in your heart, camp out in your house, in your camp out in your life, cutting you off from any chance. Forever. Seven is a lockdown. That's a complete number. But now listen to me now, brother. Listen to this old preacher here. Praise God. Yeah, listen to me now. It's just dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to just play church and to fake salvation and fake sanctification. Oh, God, you're putting yourself in a very dangerous position. You're playing with God. Amen. You're playing with God. But now, again, Satan says to God's people, I will let you go, but don't go very far. That's what he says here in this second compromise and enticing proposition here. Don't go too far. Don't go too far away from the world. Don't go too far. In other words, just be a lukewarm Christian. Lukewarm. That's all. Just lukewarm. Tone down all that hallelujah stuff. Tone down that praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus, and glory to the Lord. Tone that down, brothers. Don't go too far. You're going too far. Keep your joyfulness, your peacefulness, and your gratefulness to yourself. Keep that stuff to yourself. People are irritated when you all have hallelujah. You ought to sit quietly. Quietly. It shows your intelligence when you sit quietly. Well, is that right? Is that what the scripture says? Let's go to Revelation 3. Come on, stay with me now. We'll be through in just a minute here. Revelation 3, write it down. Praise God. He tells them that just be a lukewarm Christian now. Ain't nothing wrong being lukewarm, sitting there dignified. You dignified self. Just sit there dignified. You don't have to say no amen. No. Everybody know you love the Lord, don't they? Look at Revelation 3, 14 and 16 there. 14. It says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather that you were cold or hot. It's the Lord speaking now. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'll spit you out of my mouth. You nauseate me. I came as the Word of God. I came to this earth born of a virgin. They call me the Word of God. I came to bring you the Word. And you can't even say amen. You're so dignified, aren't you? Lukewarm. Christ hates a lukewarm Christian. He does. And it is an insult. It's just an insult to him. To have to come all the way from heaven, praise God, just to proclaim God's Word and to bring us salvation. The God's saving word, he brought it to us. God's healing word, he brought it to us. And you can't even say amen. Oh, boy, you can't even say amen. Can't you acknowledge his word, all thy ways? Acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. You can't even say amen. Christ hates that. Lukewarm Christians, ashamed to even thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for the food. You know, when you go out on that in public there, and you with your buddies, your friends, and y'all sitting there dying, and you're so ashamed to even bow your head and say, Lord, I thank you for this meal. Shame on you. Shame on you. Yes, shame on you and your religion, whatever it is. Amen. How can a supposedly saved person and a sanctified believer, how can we sit quietly and hear the word of God being preached and taught and not express ourselves, not express our joy? Praise God and our thankfulness. I just can't do it. Jeremiah says, like fire shut up in his bones, and he couldn't keep quiet. But now, I don't know how, well, maybe y'all know something Jeremiah don't know. Maybe you know a God that Jeremiah didn't know about. Maybe you know something, because you're so quiet, aren't you? Huh? But now, the devil says when we express ourselves and publicly our feelings for God's word, our thankfulness, our joyfulness, he said, you're going too far. Don't go too far. I'll let y'all go. Don't you turn out to be a religious, holy rolling fanatic stone. Don't go too far. That's the devil's proposition. Huh? You're acting like an uneducated, undignified Christians, holy rollers. Don't go there. Praise God, you're too dignified. You know that. You got a degree. Man, you got a degree from one of the finest colleges in this world. Don't you lower yourself. Praise God, to go praising God and glorifying the name of the Lord. Oh, you're too dignified. That's what the devil says. Too dignified to be acting like this. Do it in private now, but don't do it in public. Don't do it in public. If you do it in public, you're going too far. You're going too far. But this is what the Lord commands us. And we're going to do what God commands us to do. Is that right? Of course, right. Of course we will. Huh? Matthew 10:27. Look what the Lord says in Matthew 10:27. He says in 10:27 here, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in your ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. Hey, everywhere. That's our command from the commander. I can't do no more or less than what God called me to do. What about Luke 19? Praise God. He said, don't go too far. Don't go too far. You know you're too dignified. The world thinks so much of you. But if you start talking that Jesus stuff, you'll lose your place in the world. Luke 19:37 through 40. There it is right there. And when he, look at it now, Jesus was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. For all the mighty works that they had what? Had seen. Amen. We can say experience ourselves today also. 38, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed, praise God, be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the high. 39, and some of the Pharisees, these are church folks now, church folks. From the Pharisees, from the multitude said unto him, unto Christ that is, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They so loud. They are just embarrassing everybody. They're so elated. Oh, this is so embarrassing. Rebuke your disciples, Jesus. Verse 40. And the Lord answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these shall hold their peace, come on, y'all, somebody help me with this here, the stones, the rocks would immediately cry out. In other words, the Lord said, there's no way that they can avoid giving me praise. If they know me, if I live within them, praise look good on us. Praise look good on me. Hallelujah, when I give praise to the Lord. Amen. David danced out of his clothes. Y'all remember when David danced? Oh, he danced out of his clothes after God gave him a great victory. He come back into the city, and praise God, he danced out of his clothes, and his wife said to him, "Oh, you embarrassed me today, David. You king, you out there naked. You done pull your clothes off, and you dancing like a heathen, David. You dancing. Why you do that? You're so embarrassing to me." Praise God. And David said, "Woman, you ain't seen nothing yet. When you know the Lord, it don't matter to you what other people say. You don't know what I know. You don't know like I know. You don't know how I know what the Lord done for me. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I thank you, Lord." Huh? And then there's that familiar passage of scripture in the book of Psalms. Oh, we got to praise him. We must praise him. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. We know that one, don't we? Oh, praise God. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is what? He's good. And his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord," verse 2, "say so." Oh, you got to say it. You got to tell it. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy." If you've been set free, I'm talking about set free. Now, see, that's why a lot of you can't praise him, because you hadn't been set free. As a matter of fact, you're like the Pharisees. You said, "We're never in bondage to anybody." What do you mean set free? Who am I in bondage to? Well, I'll tell you who you're in bondage. You're in bondage to ignorance. You're in bondage to the devil himself. And you don't even know it. Praise God. But now, as I close out this part too, what the devil said, I'm going to let y'all go, but don't go too far. That's that next compromising proposition that he lays out before God's people. But as we close out this part too, and as many as you try to play the role of a secret disciple. That's what a lot of you, nobody know you're saved. You ain't told nobody, and you ain't living like anybody is saved. And, but you're playing that role as a secret disciple. But now, if that's you now today, let me remind you of a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. Yes, Nicodemus. For a while, he was satisfied being just a church goer. Yes, he was. He was satisfied and being just a religious leader in his church. But one day, Christ, by his Spirit, began to call him into a personal relationship. That's what it's all about, personal relationship with him. God called him. You know the story. I'm not going to get into the whole story. But late one night, though, praise God, he stole away. He stole away from his dignified associates. You know the story, yes. He stole away to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. And guess what? He got saved. He got saved. Yes. He was no longer a secret disciple. He came out of the closet. When are you, brothers and sisters, going to come out the closet? When are you going to come out the closet? Oh, boy. Oh, I'm embarrassed about you, preacher. Every time I get around you, you always, well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just so embarrassed about you being, Praise God. But now, he was no longer, Nicodemus was no longer a secret disciple. He was no longer adhering to the devil's command of not going too far. No longer. And he put it all on the line. He laid it all on the line. Yes, he did. His religious occupation, he laid that on the line. His financial well-being, he laid it on the line. Yes, he did. His reputation. Yes, all of it. It's all, everything. He put everything on the line. And that's what we do when we get really, truly get saved. We put it all on the line. But my question to you, as I close out here, you who have not gone all the way, you have heard and adhered to the devil's command not to go too far. Let me tell you something. God is calling you to get off that fence. Get off the fence now. If you're on the Lord's side, come over to him. Get off the fence. Praise God and come on over and join the family of God today. Amen. All you have to do, repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. Come into your heart. Praise God. He promised in his word Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Call on me, and I'd answer you, and show you great and mighty things. That's what the Lord says. Just call on me in sincerity today. Praise God. Forget about going too far. Forget about your dignification. Praise God. Let it all hang out. Father, I bless you today. I thank you, Lord, for this word you placed in my heart. Burning word, Father, that I discharge today, Lord, according to your will, according to your power, Father. Now, Lord, bless those whom you will allow to hear this word. Help them to realize it's not by, it's not luck, it's not by happenstance that they have tuned in, but Lord, you have sermoned them to hear this word today. And Lord, I be so mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you receive this word today, I'm going to encourage you, praise God, to pray for me. Pray for this preacher here that God will, praise God, will use me until he uses me up. That God will allow me, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may be able to rightly divide his word and I may bring the word to you in clarity and in power, not man's power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You pray for me and then share this word if you have any means whatsoever. Praise God. A lot of you have connections, podcasts, and you can share with your friends. Now, if you love the Lord, now don't do it if you don't love the Lord now, but if you love the Lord, you'll share this word with those, praise God, that you are familiar with. And then hit the like button, and it said that'll help us in our circulation of this word. But now we're dependent on God, though. First and foremost, subscribe. And then when we come again, and I've asked the Lord to allow me to come again on Friday. We're on Friday to bring you that third enticement, device that the devil uses against God's church, against God's people, against people in the world, and that is to compromise on raising godly families. The devil had another proposition. Go, leave, but leave your children, though. Leave with your young people with us. That's the next proposition. Well, till that time, may God bless you and may God keep you is my prayer. Amen. And thank you, Lord.